The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I just believe that God is trying to create a kingdom where you have the men in their strength, the women in their strength.
Coming up, author and speaker Lisa Bevere offers the life and image of the lioness as a model for us to discover fresh passion and purpose.
How important it is to have relationship. Lions do life together. They're not isolated. And because they're not isolated, each of their strengths makes up for the other one's weaknesses.
The Lioness Arising, next.
Today. Thank you so very much for allowing us to come into your home or wherever you may be watching. I'm Betty and this is James, and we have one of our best friends with us.
Well, you know, we really don't have enemies, though. I've really thought about it. We always say that we've got another one of our good friends, you know, like we're going to bring everybody in we don't like. I think it'd probably be good. I don't know who I would say. These people I don't like. It might be better if I say, let's just invite some people that don't.
Well, Lisa's a very good friend.
That's right. But let's invite some people that don't like us and find out why they don't like us. Or why they don't like Christians, or why they're angry at God. You know, I remember Governor Huckabee, who used to work here for 4 years, mm-hmm. he worked here. He was. I looked at an actual clip of Mike, and he's so young, and he's introducing me, and I'm so young. Anyway, Governor Huckabee went on Bill Maher's show, and he asked Bill. He said, "Did you get run over by a church bus or something when you were a kid? Why is it you're so mad at Christians? Because he always acts like he's mad at God." Well, maybe we invite the people on that are not happy with us. But like you said, we've got a friend. We've got Lisa Bevere with us. Would you welcome Lisa Bevere? We're glad to have you. We'd like to have a friend.
I didn't get run over.
I really don't mind. I wouldn't mind having people on that were just unhappy with us, you know, and find out why they're so upset with Christians. Because really, frankly, I've been to a lot of churches where, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think I'd want to go back because people don't act like they're very happy. You ever go to a church like that where you think, well, man, they need more than, they need a resurrection, you know, they don't.
Absolutely.
You been there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've probably acted like that occasionally too. But, yeah.
Well, I know I have. I'd like for you to bring it home. You have written a book that's in the bookstores now, Lioness Arising.
Yes.
And you actually came and talked about this with us right before it went out into the bookstores. And I was quite intrigued. And you have been listening to Betty and me talking about the, let's say, fresh awareness or the fuller awareness of the presence of God's kingdom now. People tend to think about the kingdom as somewhere we're going to go, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus announced that it's at hand, it's here, which it appears to me that we can look forward to going to heaven. But what if we could have heavenly presence, heavenly power, or this kingdom presence that Jesus was talking about? And I really believe that what you teach everywhere you go is kingdom life. And it's what we've been a part of. But a lot of people in churches, I don't think, live in this kingdom life. And I think a lot of women and a lot of girls don't even understand what you may be implying by talking about the lioness arising. But I think it's all in total harmony with kingdom life. Is that the way you see it?
Absolutely. And I have to just confess on the very front here, I'm not really that smart. And after I wrote the book, I prayed. I said, God, if I was supposed to write this book, I just want you to give me a confirmation. Now, that would have been better before I went to press, but I did it afterwards. And that night, I got a phone call. Now, I still have three boys at home, and I was in the throes of a school project. That means that your children tell you at 8 o'clock at night that they have a school project due the next day, and you find out you have no poster board. And so I had gone up to Target. I had the poster board. We're cutting a mosaic, and my husband calls me. And John has this annoying habit of calling me and saying, Lisa, hi, I want you to talk to a random stranger you've never spoken to before. And he did that to me. He's like, Lisa, hey, you need to talk to this guy. He wants to tell you something. He puts me on the phone with some man I've never met, still haven't met, and I'm like, no, don't do it. But it was too late, and I heard, is this Lisa? I'm like, yes. And he said, this is Major, and he gave me his name. And he said, I'm calling you to tell you that you heard from God to write your book. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, Arden, stay here. And I go into the other room, I'm like, yes, sir. And he said, you know, we are not winning the war in Afghanistan. And I said, I've heard that. And he said, the reason we're not winning is because we can't speak to the women. And he said, I am in charge of putting together a special ops team. And he said, it is going to now compose of women as well as men. And he said, the job of these women for special ops is they're going to help deliver their babies. They're going to tell the women they have voice and value. They're going to tell them how democracy will help their children. And they're going to take care of their medical needs. And he said, the name of this organization, of the special ops, is called Team Lioness. And so I just believe that God is trying to create a kingdom where you have the men in their strength, the women in their strength. And you know what I found out that night when I hung up the phone is, James and Betty, without women, you can wage a war, but you can't win it. Mm. And we need to be people who begin to win this war, because what we're fighting for is for the lives of people.
Boy, that's powerful.
That's really good.
I bear total witness with everything you said. And I know that with Betty, and I said to the girls and the women who are sitting out here that I believe the greatest source of influence, and if you've watched us any extended period of time live today over the years, you've heard me say this, the greatest source of influence, powerful influence on the planet, apart from the Holy Spirit, and many of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, if you study the Bible, you would say are basically feminine characteristics in their primary emphasis, or let's say in their most visible trait. And I'm telling you that women are the greatest source. I know that no one has influenced my life throughout. A lady led me to Christ, Mrs. Hale, and you became the greatest impact and influence when I met you as a teenager. And for 48 years we've been married, she continues to be inspiration. I am watching, I believe, women not, let's say, moving into an inappropriate role, but being recognized for the appropriate role they're supposed to be in. Baby,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm literally, you say you kind of take me kicking and screaming up to the studio to tape with you because I'd rather just be at home. But do you see the importance of women's role, but also how much what God's enabled you to do, even here in co-hosting,
absolutely,
the importance of it?
Absolutely. And it's not that women are trying to take over where men maybe haven't stepped up, but it's to work alongside, really. You know, I don't feel like I'm in competition with you for this on this show or anything, but as a team, we work together and complement the gifts that God's given me and the gifts that God's given you, and it makes God's plan work so much better when we can work in unity, but still see the difference and appreciate the difference in one another.
You know, you saw me the first time. You actually came and put some makeup on me for television down in Orlando when you were there. Years ago, we were talking about it, like, you know, 25, 30 years ago. And you heard me.
It was not that long.
It was definitely close to that long ago.
It was 20 years.
You mean you hardly were born, is what you're trying to tell us. But it's a long time ago. But I was the speaker with these big crowds, and you come in. And I got to ask you, though, so you knew me there, and now you've known us through the years. Quite honestly, has Betty not had an even more profound impact perhaps on you than the, quote, speaker had on you just being around her?
You know, I loved what you guys are in private. And that's, I mean, it's not that different than what we see here. But the profoundness of her nurturing, you nurtured her, and her blossoming into everything has meant the world to me. And it's made me feel safe. You know, I feel like you guys have really positioned me to redeem a lot of areas of my life. And watching Betty face things that she feared, watching her dance, watching her worship, watching your daughters. I got to see Robin before she was married, Rhonda and Terry when they were newlyweds. I've got to see your family grow up and flourish. And that is what I think we are talking about. That's really what kingdom is. It's family. Mm-hmm. It's the private dynamic. It's the public dynamic. It's that creating a dynamic for everybody to flourish, and not just some, but everybody. And I've loved watching that in private, and I've loved being part of it.
I want you to tell our viewers some of the concepts that you get across in this incredible book, because you do literally talk about a lioness and you talk about the family. There's something about the lion family that, quite frankly, the church family, the Christian family, we don't even behave that way. We are really quite at one another instead of with one another. Point out some of the uniqueness and the characteristics that you literally revealed in the book.
Well, one of the things I absolutely loved, and the more I studied about the lioness, the more I was just blown away by how much of the God factor was on their life for us to really learn from. But you know, they are the only cat that does social grooming. And so when they meet each other, they actually make face-to-face contact. And when they make face-to-face contact, it releases a fragrance around their face. They have scent glands above their eyes. And that fragrance says, you're part of the pride. It says, I belong to you, you belong to me. And together, we're a part of this group. And then they groom each other. And I love that the lions know something that I think we've lost in the body, that what looks bad on you looks bad on me. And what looks bad on me looks bad on you. And so we need to take care of each other. We can't be letting each other go out looking bad and saying, well, do you see so-and-so, what she's got hanging off the backside of her? No, we need to be the ones that help each other. And when people need to be groomed, they act weird. I have a little dog, and when she needs to be groomed, she starts misbehaving. And so she can't groom herself. And so we need to be people who begin to groom one another. And to groom means not just to make clean, but it also means to raise up in strength. It means to bring out the best in one another. You know, we were talking in the back room about how important it is to have relationship. Lions do life together. They're not isolated. And because they're not isolated, each of their strengths makes up for the other one's weaknesses. I need the Bettys in my life. I don't need everybody to be like me. I need people that are different than me to be in my life, to draw out those things in my life. And what each of us needs to understand is that our truest beauty isn't going to be reflected in our own mirror, but it's going to be reflected on how we've affected other people. And I think in that light, Betty is one of the most beautiful women on the face of the earth, not just because of her beautiful face, but because of the function she's had in the body of Christ.
And that's why it's important as Christians that we encourage one another.
Absolutely.
When we see, it's just like with our children when they were small, or even now our grandchildren, it's fun to be able to step back and say, look at all of them. They're in the same family, but they're different. Their gifts are different. And to appreciate that and say, God, how can I encourage them in their gift? How can I allow them to be the way you create them, different from me, maybe, or from one of the others, you know, but yet to appreciate that. And I think that's really important in the family.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that I have observed as being, I'd say, one of the most heartrending greatest concerns is watching how poorly we communicate mm-hmm. in a national level.
Mm-hmm.
It's dog eat dog. It's
right.
It's devouring one another. We don't come together for common good. And really, when you look at our national leaders in the political arena, it's as though they've set out to destroy the other person. They talk about them, talk down. It's called mudslinging, and it really gets worse than that. It's worse than gunslinging. It's character assassination. And we're not better for it. But here's the sad thing. That's the way we've behaved in churches.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we tend to speak corrective words oftentimes, let's say someone goes on television, or I would just take off and start telling you what's wrong with this Christian or that preacher, and we just put them out. I'm not talking about this is a way we shouldn't walk,
mm-hmm.
and showing people this is the way we should walk. We tend to talk down about people,
right.
talk about people rather than to one another.
Right.
Now, I've been guilty of that. You know, you said right up front when we were joking around, said,
yeah.
well,
oh,
I've
absolutely.
Probably not
yeah.
been one of the
yeah.
better ones in church, too. I've certainly been the one who was accusing. This is the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Right.
It is the righteousness of religious people who look down at others, and they don't really lift them up or build them up or strengthen them by speaking words of correction. They browbeat or they talk about them, and they discredit one another. Now, this happens. It can happen to any one of us. Here's what I've learned to do. When someone talks ugly about me,
yeah.
I'm going to love them.
Right.
I'm not going to get angry at it, but
right.
I don't think they're being redemptive. If you are walking in kingdom life, and you were just talking about the lions wanting to help each other look good,
right.
you're going to walk with a redemptive spirit, not a spirit of condemnation, because there is no condemnation in him. The enemy is the accuser. So if we start accusing, putting each other down, trying to expose each other's nakedness or wrong, then we're not grooming, we're not building one another up, we're not benefiting and blessing the family as a result of the church failing to do this,
right.
to really have an honest, open discussion where we can speak words of correction, but redemptively, not destructively. Because we've been a poor example, it's as though our national leaders can't have a wholesome, meaningful, positive, productive conversation or discussion because they've been trained oftentimes mm-hmm. in the religious settings of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe, I mean, you made a great point there. I really do believe we need to learn something mm-hmm. about helping one another walk in the light mm-hmm. as he is in the light. And we're not doing that as effectively and as positively mm-hmm. as we should.
No, we've been experts in everybody else's flaws and blind to our own. I know I said years ago, I said, you know, when it talks about, you know, take the plank out of your own eyes, I'm like, I had enough planks to build an entertainment center. I mean, I had so much in my own eyes. eyes. It's so much easier to judge other people, but that's not going to solve anybody else's problems. And we really need to understand, beating up my own arm doesn't make me strong. We are all part of one body. And the Bible is so clear in Romans. It says that strength is for service, not for status. And I think people will attack other people's flaws to make themselves look bigger, to gain their status. But we're not supposed to do that. We are supposed to use our strength to come on and go, come on, you're faltering. Come on, you're failing here. Let me help you. And we're going to do it with meekness. And yet in the church, we haven't modeled that. And I just think it's really a chance right now. I think we're in perilous times, and perilous times give birth to courageous people. And so we have a chance to be courageous. We have a chance to be kind. I was flying from Auckland, New Zealand to Sydney, Australia. And I opened up my newspaper, and on one side it said, we don't have enough body bags. On the other side, it talked about how there was 34 million Chinese men that would never have brides because there was that many women missing. And I began to cry, looking at our state, looking at the unraveling of our social fabric. And I'm crying on the plane, and the flight attendant, there was a man, stopped by and goes, are you okay? And I said, you know, I am okay. I just saw this. And he said, what's happening in our world right now? What is happening? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me, and I heard, speak faith, speak kingdom, speak life, speak light. And he said, is it the end? I said, it's the beginning. I said, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of all things being made new. And I said, when God, you know, when everything is, says chaos, God says, I'm in control. When everybody is afraid, God said, don't be afraid. We need to start speaking hope and life and strength. And we need to be people that are so lit from within that we bring the kingdom to the chaos right now, that we bring the peace of God. We bring the answer of God. And do you know, those two guys waited till I was done with my meal. They both sat down with me, and I got to preach to them for about an hour because they want to hear the truth. They want to hear people that they see light in their life. They see life around them. John and I were traveling. My dad died earlier this year. And right after that, John and I took a trip. And you know, when you go through something like that, it's just the two of you. And John and I were very close to each other on the plane. We were face to face talking. John had packed a sandwich for me. And I noticed everybody was watching us a little bit later. Our plane had some mechanical errors. We were stuck in San Francisco. Everybody was around us because they saw two people in love. Just like everybody loves to watch you guys. They saw two people in love. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what we preach. It's what we show. It's what we live. If we do not have a vibrant relationship with each other and a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ and a vibrant relationship with our children, people do not want to hear what we have.
That's right.
Wow. You agree with what she's saying? You appreciate what Lisa's saying? I bear witness, and I totally agree. You know, Lisa, you've been coming on our program now. I'm afraid to say how many years. I miss it. But you were really right in the time frame, because it was a little over 20 years ago, because Robin wasn't married, and she'll soon be married, pretty close to 20. Wow,
she was just married 19 years.
So it was a little bit. It was close. I was
pregnant with Alec, and he's 20.
I'm not totally right. But you've been coming on this program for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And what you've watched, and you have too, you've watched us bring people in from the entire family of God.
Yes.
From all different backgrounds. And let me tell you what I know you've appreciated. You've appreciated the same thing I know God is excited about. You've watched two people love people from all different areas of life. And you've watched those people be received comfortably and lovingly. Even if we might have some disagreements or some points at which we differ, you have seen love cover, and you've seen harmony. And I believe it's something, I believe every viewer who is sensitive to life and to God is wanting this harmony of heart. Mm-hmm. This is kingdom.
Yeah.
This is what at least lions have enough sense to practice,
right,
and really legitimately care about the well-being of the family. And they live as families. The church must begin to live as a family. Mm-hmm. I really would encourage you to get Lisa's book. It's in the bookstores, Lioness Arising, because believe me, this is the greatest day for the church to have the positive imprint of God's kingdom presence and power on planet Earth. And women are a shining inspirational light on this planet, as great as any on Earth, period, mm-hmm. bar none. And I really pray that you will understand this is the hour for the church to arise and shine. Let God's glory be on us. We are to be adorned in His glory, His grace, His presence before He comes in glory. Let's be asking God to let us live in the glory of His presence rather than just looking for Him coming in glory. Let's be witnesses unto Him right now, right here at home. Lisa, you have traveled with us to the ends of the earth. You've marched into the pit of hell. You know what it is to give people food or water or shelter. You, our viewers, are the greatest encouragers that anyone could ever hope to have as a friend. We refer to many of you who help us share life as Friends for Life. I want you to look at one of the greatest ways we can give someone life. Not just tell them about the life and love of God, but literally show them the love of God and give them a chance at life. Look closely. Let God speak to your heart and believe this. You are the answer to every heartache and every need you're about to witness. You really are. Watch closely. More than one missionary has said, please help us stop burying our children in our country. Betty, that little child was holding what looked like milk, but it was actually water. And I sometimes feel like there's nothing I could say that would be adequate to inspire the kind of action necessary to drill another 400 wells, more than 400 in 15 different countries. To give a child like that a drink of water. I hope you don't ever think that, well, they're just little nameless people, not to God. They're precious in His sight. Betty, when you think about what could we say or do to help people realize the importance, what comes up inside your heart?
Well, as I was watching that and I saw that little child holding that cup of water in it, but like James said, it's so contaminated. I'm thinking every time that cup gets closer to that child's lips, it's death. It's bringing death. And I think that child is going to drink that water because that's all they have. But we have an opportunity. You and I, many others, if we will join together and say, let's drill the wells. Let's give them a choice of clean water so that their little lives may have an opportunity to grow up strong and healthy.
I've told you every time we drill wells that we, years ago, decided we'd drill a well. Every time the mission projects come from our missionary overseers and they say, would you drill here? And then we make that emphasis. Betty and I ask the Lord to enable us. I got to tell you, it's been one of the greatest joys and blessings. And you say, well, God give you a bunch of stuff because you did. Oh, man, we gave those kids life.
That's right.
We got the joy of knowing that we put an oasis of life in the center of their community. And we were able to do that. If you can drill a well, you will find what all of our viewers who've ever responded that way said. It's one of our lifetime joys. And many of you say, you know, we like to do that every year. We make it a goal. But there are many of you who say, James, I couldn't do that. Well, could you give a portion of a well, 1,200 or 2,400, and then ask God to raise up three others to join with you with 1,200 or another person to join 2,400? Whatever you can do, do it. But here, please don't miss this. Think about what I'm saying. Your gift of $144, it'll give 30 people water for the rest of their life. A gift of $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. There's some level at which you could participate. Would you help 10 people, 20 or 30 people? We want to send you the incredible devotional, the Kingdom Life Journal, that you can journal the thoughts that God gives you with Psalms and Proverbs to bless you. And I think it's very important to journal and write what God puts on your heart. We're sending the Heart of the Father bronze to those of you who'll give 1,200 or 2,400 or give a well, to say thank you for sharing the love of the Father in His heart. Whatever you can do, we ask you to dial that number, take your bank card, use it like a check, or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and many of you are doing that, and make that special gift today. But whatever you can do, if you want to make a check, make it to Life, but call us, please, today, and tell us what you're putting in the mail, and make the gift God puts on your heart. Thank you. Thank you so much for responding.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people, and $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, I just thank you so much for your help. And I always wonder if you call and got a busy, would you be persistent enough to get through? You know, we're always here to pray with you for your concerns. But do press on to say, I want to share water. If you'd like to have Lisa Bevere's book, Lioness Arising, we'll be glad to send it to you. You make the gift God puts on your heart, and we'll send it to you along with the Kingdom Life Journal. And we just really appreciate the opportunity of sharing with you, and thank you for your help. Lisa's going to be back with us on other programs this week talking about life and kingdom reality. Would you say thanks to Lisa Bevere for being with us? Lisa, thank you. Looking forward to talking to you some more. Thank all of you for your prayers, your support. Thank you for your friendship.
When girls package themselves cheaply, then they don't understand their value in God.
Tomorrow, Lisa Bevere shares purity's power to the next generation. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.